Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I want to say at the outset, today's topic is not for younger ears. In fact, it's not a topic that I would normally address on this show. As you, if you listen often enough, you know we're a deeper life show. We also love to talk about health and the healing process. And as the more I looked into the topic, the more I thought, you know, this actually does fit in with what we talk about, because we keep it real on this show. And what we're talking about is God redeeming your sexual story. Everybody has a sexual story that they need some healing from. In fact, the percentage of people who have sexual regret is extremely high. Those who have sexual trauma, also high numbers. But maybe you don't have trauma or a lot of regret, but maybe you've got some maybe buried memories or a little bit of shame of things you wish you wouldn't have done. What are you to do with that? I think you'd be amazed at how many Christians go through life dragging shame, dragging regret, dragging self-contempt and body shame and all those things with them. But what if today was a new day to begin again, to dare to believe that God has a new beginning for you? He's got not only forgiveness, but mercy and compassion and healing and wholeness. My guest today says this. She says, we're going to invite Jesus into your sexual story. Nothing stays the same when Jesus shows up. Your sexual story won't stay the same when he shows up either. Dr. Carol Tanksley joins me today to talk about her new book, Sexpectations, Reframing Your Good and Not So Good Stories About God, Love, and Relationships. We've got a few copies to give away today. It's Sexpectations, so like expectations with sex at the beginning. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from my guest. If you're new to Faith Radio, maybe you've not heard of our free app, and we really want you to download it because it's free. And that way, if you travel this season, you can take us with you. You can listen live from anywhere or catch podcasts after the fact. It's very easy to use. Go to the App Store, search Faith Radio Network, and you'll find it. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Carol, my goodness, I know her. She's been on the show before. I'm not sure what I'm doing with the whole Carrie thing. Dr. Carol Tanksley is an author, speaker, podcaster, licensed OBGYN physician, and an ordained minister, an expert on integrated wholeness for the body, mind, and soul. She founded Dr. Carol Ministries to help people experience wholeness, the wholeness God intended. You can learn more about her on drcarolministries.com. Dr. Carol, welcome back to the show.
Susie, I feel like you're a friend, even though we've never met in person. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today.
Well, it sure has been too long. We had you on a long time ago to talk about anxiety, and that was such a powerful conversation. But this is an important one as well. And before we dig in, Carol, we ask the same question every single day, our very first question, and it's this: what has God been talking to you about these days?
I love that question because it is always fresh, isn't it? Our walk with God needs to be fresh. And what comes to mind right now, something I've been hearing from God recently is this is the place to deal with it. I think of the story in John 4. Jesus is traveling through Samaria. He sits down at a well, and a woman comes to draw water at an unexpected time of day. Jesus is talking with her and offers her the water of life, living water. And he awakens the desire in her heart for this. And she says, oh, yes, give me this water. And Jesus seems to pull a bait and switch on her. And he says to her, well, go call your husband. She says, I don't have one. Jesus says, you're right. You don't. You've had five and you're living with somebody now who's not your husband. That was not Jesus condemning or indicting her. We often think that that woman with five husbands was sexually promiscuous, and that could be, but there are other explanations. That was a time in history when many men, for example, died in war. Life expectancy in general was less, maybe disease. Maybe she had been divorced several times. Divorce was fairly easy. Women didn't have a lot of rights compared to what we expect today. There's all kinds of things that could have gone into her story. And Jesus said, this is the place to deal with it. Bring your story here. I am safe. You can deal with this here. And I just love that invitation and that warmth that Jesus portrays. That's been really large in my heart recently.
I love that. We did a whole show on that story. In fact, we might have to replay that sometime soon because it to me, it's one of the most powerful encounters because you show all of her coping mechanisms by avoiding people, and he didn't want her to hide anymore. And it's so amazing to me at the end of that story is she goes back to face the people that she'd worked so hard to avoid with no more shame and said, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, you got to think about that. Like, would you do that? Well, you could do that if grace would have replaced that shame. And they were so intrigued that they had no power over her anymore that they went and met Jesus for themselves, invited him to stay, and most of the town was saved because she was delivered from shame. I think that is such a powerful story. So thank you for bringing that up. What a great story. All right, let's talk about this. I mean, you're a busy gal. So of all the things you could write a book about, why this? How did God bring this topic to the forefront of your mind and tell you, especially in this day of so much sexualization and deviant, you know, behavior? Praise God that he invited you to do it, but I'd love to know more about the backstory.
Well, I'm kind of chuckling because I think God must chuckle. I am the last person that I would have ever expected God to invite to address this kind of topic. The early years of my growing up, I was hiding. The walls around my heart and soul were thick and high, and to address sexuality and intimacy, that was just the farthest thing from my mind. God did have me deal with my stuff, and I was privileged to experience a very loving marriage for 7.5 years before my husband passed away, and now I'm living unmarried again. And as I have just been talking with people about what's going on in their life and the challenges and where the cutting edge for them and God is, this area kept coming up, whether it's for married people or unmarried people, or, you know, want more sex or hate it, whether they've been hurt, traumatized, or feeling shame around it, or maybe they're just afraid of it because of stuff that they've seen or learned. And I also have come to see how this part of our being touches on the way God created us at the deepest core of our being. It's something the enemy has worked so hard to steal, kill, and destroy, to mar and wound, because this area of our souls opens up what God really wants for all of us, which is intimacy. The difference between intimacy and sex, that's gotten confused. That needs to be unpacked. But I believe it's because that need in our souls for intimacy is a picture of what God is doing in this human experiment with us humans. There's so much about this in the Bible and dealing with story. Everybody's got a story here, and it opens up some things that God just wants to do in us.
So good. First of all, before I make this next comment, I want to say, you know, we love the church. We love the local church. In fact, we're talking behind the scenes about doing a series on the importance and the power of the local church and how you heal when sometimes things don't go the way you'd hoped. So that, you know, it's the bride of Christ. So we love the church. But I will say, Dr. Rob Reamer, who joins me once a month, said this. He said, in church, he said, the church taught me how to behave, not how to be transformed. And I think that's super important because there's so much more. I mean, what Jesus intended in the bride, we're living, you know, we're breathing, we're to be representatives, ambassadors. And when I think of the topic of the sexual conversation, I think in the same way, it's been a lot of focus on sexual behavior, which is also important. Of course it is. But are we missing the mark in some way? And I'll just say this because I've heard so much from young people who heard so much about the purity ring and so much purity talk, which again is so important. But then they felt so shamed when they stumbled, when they fell, or didn't have a place to go with their questions. So I'm just wondering, how can we do it better in the church?
We need to. And I want to just affirm what you said too. Jesus loves the church. So we love what Jesus loves. And there's, at least in our contemporary Western culture, a lot that needs yet to be worked on here. The church has done quite a good job at talking about what's on or not on the sin list. And as you alluded to, Susie, behaviors matter. I practice as an OBGYN until very, very recently. So like 30 years experience, I've seen the results of behaviors, especially in the sexual arena. Behaviors matter. And we are not simply talking about just body parts. This is about matters of the heart. And I think probably any of our listeners, Susie, if they just pause and think about it, why does the whole topic of sexuality seem like such a big deal? It's because it's not just simply biology. This is about matters of the heart. And that's what my book's Expectations is really about. There's a lot out there about the sin list, but that doesn't help us wrestle with these matters of the heart. Some of this comes out with the shame when somebody engages in a behavior that is outside of God's plan. But there's other ways this comes out too. For example, I have talked with individuals who got married never having engaged in sexual behaviors before, but then when they got married, the bedroom environment was, it was anything but good. And so some of the lies and expectations that culture has said and that the Christian church has tried to deal with, but sometimes just Christianize those same half-truths and not help people deal with the understanding of how God made us in this way and what it means to see and be seen by another, which is what that intimacy is. How is that related to sex? How are they different? So just some really big areas there that just talking about behaviors, as important as it is, isn't enough.
Mm-hmm. And truly, if you're lining up 5-10 people and you're talking behaviors, they're all going to interpret it through a filter of whatever their experience is. I mean, like you gave stories in the book where a young girl watches her stepdad beat her mom. Well, yes. She doesn't have a sexual experience with him, but it affects her how she views men as she's getting older enough to date. I mean, we don't realize how these things impact us. And so whatever your backstory is, it creates a filter through which you see life and view the sexual story. And this is why I feel like this conversation is so important, because wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, there's healing and wholeness. In a little while, we'll talk more about this, where, Carol, you said forgiveness is, Jesus offers forgiveness, and that's wonderful, but we need more than that to heal. Mm-hmm. We're going to touch on that in a bit. But you made a point about intimacy versus sex, and you said they're not the same. So take a couple minutes, if you would, to make that distinction.
Yeah. Every human being, regardless of gender, age, or relationship status, hungers to see and be seen, to know and be known. I believe that is a picture of how we are made in the image of God. Think of what we know of God Himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so close that we are told to think of Him as one God, and He is. That's scripture, the Lord is one. And so we could say that God experiences infinite intimacy within Himself in the Godhead, and to create us in His image. God could not do that without creating within us that need for intimacy, that need to see and be seen, to know and be known, to connect. Sex in marriage on earth is a physical object lesson of that, as God intended it. Sometimes we've taken in the church the scripture in Ephesians that talks about marriage, you know, being a metaphor for Christ in the church. Sometimes we've taken that as earthly marriage is the original in Christ and the church. Well, it's supposed to look like a good marriage. Well, it's really just the opposite. God is always the original. And so his original experience of intimacy and us being made in his image with the need, desire, and capacity for that, sex in marriage is the object lesson as God designed it for that. But it is one facet. The scripture in Genesis, the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, were naked and they felt no shame. The sense of the original Hebrew there is that not only were there no coverings over their bodies, there were no coverings over their mind and heart and soul too. This was two human beings fully seeing and knowing each other. Sex being in marriage, a physical object lesson and demonstration of that. But we all need to see and be known. Jesus needed that when he was here on earth. And we can talk about that more. But just the euphemism that sometimes people will say, well, I want intimacy. Well, if by that you mean you want body parts coming together, okay, that desire is not a bad desire. But let's look deeper at the matters of the heart, at that true need to connect.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk a bit more about maybe you're someone who has a lot of shame around your story. What are the first steps you can take towards healing and redemption? As we go to break, I want to read this from Dr. Carol Tanksley's book, Sexpectations. She says, God built you with the need, the desire, and capacity for intimacy. You cannot thrive and become healed and whole without being connected, seen, and known. And this applies regardless of your relationship status. He created the holes in your souls to make us hungry for true intimacy with others and with him. He designed that hunger to keep us seeking until we find our deepest satisfaction, ultimately, in him. We'll be back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. You know, solitude is one thing, loneliness another. We can enjoy rich times with God in solitude, yet we can be in a large crowd and feel all alone. It all depends on the season we're in and the perspective we embrace. Maybe, just maybe, you're walking through a season where nobody quite understands what you're walking through. Well, friend, you know what? Jesus knows. You're never alone. Even so, every one of us needs encouragement on this journey. We would love to encourage you today. If you need some texts of audio encouragement, we would love to send those to you. Text the word LONELY to 877-933-2484. Again, text the word LONELY to 877-933-2484. I want you to be reminded that you're not alone. He is with you. We're with you too. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Carol Tanksley about her book, Sexpectations, Reframing Your Good and Not So Good Stories About God, Love, and Relationships. And every person basically has some kind of, well, some backstory. If you're an adult, you have a backstory, and there's parts of that story that likely need to be healed or maybe that you need to see with a redemptive lens. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Carol, would you speak to the person who's got a lot of shame around their sexual story? What are the first steps maybe they can even take towards health and redemption and wholeness?
I think it's rare to find a person with no shame around their sexual story. I think it's analogous to what Dr. Dan Allender and others have said, that we have all been sexually harmed in some way. Sometimes that's obvious and really dramatic. Sometimes it's more subtle. I want to first relate this, Suzy, to the original hiding that human beings started way back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they first felt no shame, naked and no shame. The very next verse, the serpent shows up. The serpent deceives Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fall. Sin enters the human race. And the very first thing humans do is hide. That's shame. That is the result of all of this mess, this brokenness. And of course, the enemy assaults what God prizes most. So because God created us to be united with him, And in marriage, a man and woman together, the enemy assaults that part of us. So whether it's something done to you or something you've done in response, the enemy is very good at enticing you to act in certain ways, for example. And then the moment you do, he's great at heaping shame on that. Or he's great at twisting messages to let you believe that in some way you're at fault for the harm you have received through no fault of your own. And that brings shame. So the first thing to do is to come out from hiding, which is also one of the hardest to do. The telling somebody is super hard. I have been working with people around these issues for some time now, and telling somebody is often one of the hardest steps to take, but it's one of the most transformative. And I believe that includes telling Jesus and telling at least one other human being. So hard. But what happens when you tell your story is that it brings it into the light and it starts disinfecting the shame. Just like every other germ, bacteria, whatever, bringing it into the light starts disinfecting the shame. In the opening of the program today, Susie, you asked about scripture, and we talked about the woman at the well in John 4 briefly. And that's what she experienced. The shame was disinfected. That's what happens when Jesus comes into your story. We now know neurobiologically some of the reasons for that. When you feel felt by another human being and by God, your brain is actually different. The connections between various parts of your nerve cells in your brain start to change. And that's where the new brain pathways that you will need to grow and experience transformation become real, is just allowing yourself to be seen by another. Sometimes that can be hard to start. So I encourage people, just find somebody to tell a part of your story. Even if you can't tell the whole thing right now, just start. Find somebody to tell part of your story too. And then, of course, tell Jesus.
Yeah. Dr. Rob Reamer talks about having a few people in your life with whom you have no secrets. And he had a best friend who actually died recently, but they would meet together. And, they did it, I think, once a year for a while, but they would do a life review. And now they just would do it, they saw each other so often, like every few months, they would need to upgrade their life review. But he just said, we just told each other everything. We just were for each other. And he just said, I can't tell you how healing that is to have some people with whom you can share those things. And I think once you get it out and you feel their compassion and their love and that you're not weird, you're not alone, you're not the only person, it's so healing. And so I love that advice so much. You said this, I touched on this toward the beginning of the show, that while God offers forgiveness, and that's extremely important and it's such a gift, in order to heal, you actually need more than forgiveness. Say more about that.
Yeah. Forgiveness deals with the past, and thank God he offers that. But if you want something different for your future, you have to become different. I talked a little bit about that a minute ago when I was talking about what happens in your brain when you feel felt by another. The stuff that we learn before we know we're learning anything, whether there's words associated with it or not, creates, it's like ruts in your brain. It's pathways that your brain normally goes to. This is how we deal with feelings. This is what it means to be a boy or a girl. It's good news or bad news that I'm a boy or a girl. This is how we do relationships. This is how we do intimacy. This is how we do sex. All of those things develop pathways in your brain. And to have a different next chapter of your story, there are new pathways that need to be built in your brain. I believe that is the kind of the bottom line of what Jesus is all about in dealing with us, It's not only about the acts that we have done, although he has provision for that. But think for a second. If you were forgiven for certain acts that you've done, but you were the same person, would that really be good news? I don't want to be the same person that naturally hides or is afraid. That's my story. Let's take it out of the sexual arena for a minute. If you let's take it to the extreme. If you murdered somebody, let's say you were forgiven for that murder. Do you want to be the same person that goes and murders somebody else? No. And a lot of people who especially deal with sexual issues, they have tried harder for a long time and just worn themselves out. So yes, thank God he offers forgiveness, but you need to be on a journey of becoming somebody that loses its power over you. It loses its sting. So the very pathways in your brain that take you to the dark place, there's new ones that you can choose that take you to a healthy place. Those brain pathways take time to develop. And part of what I talk about in my book is many of the important steps to build those new pathways in your brain. That's what I mean by transformation. I believe that's in a large part what God is talking about in Philippians, what Paul is saying there, that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works and we work. This is a process of becoming different together. So, like Romans 8:28 says, we can become conformed to the image of his son so that we can actually become like Jesus. It's not only the behaviors we've done in the past, it's that our, so to speak, our DNA, the very makeup of who I am, becomes different, becomes like Jesus, so that I look like, feel like, smell like, talk like, live like I am like Jesus, not because I'm trying harder, but because I am different from the inside out.
We're going to pause here. Amen. Amen. In fact, Angie, my producer, just typed in the chat. She said it's like self-brain surgery. That's a phrase from Dr. Lee Warren. He's a brain spine surgeon who joins us every once in a while to talk about self-brain surgery, about doing thought biopsies, really looking at, are your thoughts true? Are they helpful? Are they building a life towards life and peace and wholeness or not? And then if not, you need to retrain and reframe. So that's really, really good. When we come back, let's talk about, you've got a Christian couple. They love Jesus, but they're absolutely broken in the bedroom. They just have a broken sexual relationship. What are steps towards healing that they could take as well? And friends, we're going to take a break here. Again, this conversation obviously is not for young ears, although I feel like the way Carol's talking about it, I don't think they would even understand what we're talking about. Dr. Carol Tanksley's book is Sexpectations, Reframing Your Good and Not So Good Stories About God, Love, and Relationships. We'll be back. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Today, our topic isn't really suited for young ears, but I will say the way we've been going about it, they may not know if they're young, they may not even know what we're talking about, but we're talking about God healing your sexual backstory. Dr. Carol Tanksley is my guest today. Sexpectations is the title of her book, Reframing Your Good and Not So Good Stories About God, Love, and Relationships. She says Jesus invites you to look at your sexual story with both honesty and compassion. That's the way to disinfect the shame, find healing, and truly change your heart so you can write a new chapter going forward. And I've shared a little bit about this on the show. It's always a vulnerable thing because we have almost as many men listening as women. But I remember coming into our marriage as a young bride feeling broken and unfixable because of some of past trauma that I'd experienced. I thought I was just forever broken. And I remember seeing the brokenness in Kev's eyes saying, you know, this isn't just my loss, it's yours too. And that was a new thought for me. And I thought, loss, well, then maybe there's a gain. I mean, I had a mindset that I was permanently broken. But when I thought, I'm competitive enough to go, wait, enemy's stolen something from me and I'm getting it back. And somehow, some way, I got my game on and started interceding and praying and us just really processing. And God redeemed that part of our story. And again, not comfortable to talk about it too much, but I got to say, when I speak about this at women's conferences, I get more women who come to me to say, I've been living with the mindset that I'm permanently broken, unfixable. And that's just always a lie, isn't it, Carol?
It is. And I remember feeling that way. I was certain I was broken and unfixable. I resonate with that. And I know a little bit of your story, Susie. And so I can imagine just a little bit of how that might have impacted. The thing that you are illustrating is that you come to marriage, you talking about a couple who gets married, you come to marriage with a story. That doesn't mean you have had to have sex. Just your story impacts who you are as you come to the marriage. Some of the stuff, like for you and me, Susie, is stuff that happened to you. And some of the stuff you may have been exposed to or enticed into, not even knowing what you were getting involved with, relationships, good, bad, ugly, things you saw or even learned in church. And without having a place to deal with the meaning of that, with the matters in your heart, the especially early period in a marriage, even if you came never having had sex before, can be really, really hard. One of the things that good married sex does is it brings body, mind, and soul together, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I think in some measure, some large, some less, every human being has learned to hide. And that plays itself out in the marriage bedroom, whether it's physical pain, whether it's pressure in performance, whether it's shame about, you know, stuff in the past, whether it's just missed expectations. You briefly mentioned purity culture before we started on the air today, Susie, and the expectations and messages that many people brought out of that teaching, which in many ways was very good, but what many people took out of that in their expectations and understanding brought a lot of pain and disappointment. So what does a couple do? First thing I would encourage is look underneath the surface at the why. Look for what this experience of one flesh in marriage, what does that mean to you? What has it meant to each of you? And in marriage, it's going to be different. Look at the expectations and bring that into the light. And again, the shame or pain or fear or whatever it is, it can be disinfected when it's brought into the light. A lot of married couples don't have the same expectations. And so those assumptions lead to disappointment and sometimes, you know, a lot worse. So look at the why. Look at the matters of the heart that are leading you to believe something, the assumptions, the expectations.
Hmm. You know, I've heard from women who said that their husbands sometimes have this unrelenting appetite and where it doesn't seem healthy. And what's behind that? If there's not, I mean, I know that in general, typically men will desire it more than mm-hmm. females, but I've heard that there's times when they explain it, it's like there's something underneath there. There's like, maybe it's that yes. cry, as you were talking about, for deep intimacy, soul healing, and they're just, have got a ravenous appetite thinking it's going to be satisfied that way. What are your thoughts?
I would ask any men who are listening, is that really satisfying what you are longing for? Yes, we are embodied beings. There is a biological factor here. And men, 75% of men in marriages have a higher sex drive than the wife. 25% of the time, it's the wife with a higher sex drive. But many people in our culture have come to believe the lie that I have to have a happy, satisfied, fulfilling sex life to be a fully alive human. The church has taken that to mean, therefore, I must get married. And my marriage must be happy and sexually satisfying if I am to be whole. We have put sex in a place God never intended it. It's important. It's really important. But significant numbers of people have come to expect sex to meet a need in their soul that sex was never designed to fill. That doesn't mean the desire to be sexually connected with your spouse is not good. It is. That's a godly desire. But to use that as a fix for negative emotions, if I'm bored, if I'm sad, if I'm disappointed, if I'm lonely, if I'm irritated or angry or whatever, a lot of people have said, well, if I have sex, I won't feel that way anymore. There's a certain way in which that's kind of like junk food. Okay, if you're hungry, junk food may assuage your hunger pangs for a moment, but you're not really going to be nourished. And so just the physical release, if that's all you are after, the physical release, you might not feel quite so hungry for a minute, but that's not nourishing. It needs to include the intimacy, and in a healthy marriage, those are connected. God designed sex and marriage, sex and intimacy and covenant marriage to be connected. And one of the things I often have to struggle to help men understand is that just getting a physical release doesn't address what their soul is most deeply longing for. Now,
and a woman will sense
that physical desire.
Let me just interject and say that women will feel used in that way if there's this insatiable appetite and there's all these driving, you know, needs underneath it, and they're maybe going there as a release, like you say, as others would go to porn or to food or shopping or whatever. After a while, the woman's going to lock her elbows and go, I feel used. I don't feel loved. And so this is like, the answer isn't just keep satisfying him, just keep doing it more. The answer is to get some healing so that there's a healthy, honorable balance there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you just described something that is so important. In marriage, sex and intimacy is not supposed to be about something that I get. It's supposed to be about a gift. And when it becomes about something that I want, that is lust. And that can be whether you're married or not, whether it's porn or stuff going on outside your marriage or even with your spouse. Lust is I want what I want, when I want it, for as long as I want to do what I want with it. And that's just as bad in marriage as outside of marriage. And I think men can probably tell the difference too, but certainly a woman can. A woman will be able to tell. So what I tell husbands is, touch your wife's heart before touching her body, and she will be able to tell the difference.
Boy, the good. All right, let's talk about this for just a moment before our next break here. We continue to hear high-profile stories of Christian leaders who fall because of a private struggle with sin. And now, two points here. We have an enemy who wants nothing more than to discredit the church, but also we have a sin nature that pulls us toward destructive tendencies. It's so grievous. Every time I read another story, there's never judgment in my heart. It's like I want to fall down and sob for the church, for this person had a target on their back, for the private struggles that they maybe didn't admit and deal with. And it's just the enemy feels like he has the last say. But love for you to just speak to that dynamic.
Yeah. You are right. The enemy has a heyday with that kind of thing. And the enemy loves it when the very one who can heal us is made to be the villain. Part of what the enemy's assault on Christian leaders and sin in this area leads to is people saying, well, they're a representative of God. And, you know, what did God do to, you know, to stop that. So it twists our understanding of God. And for a Christian leader in whether the platform is smaller or larger, it can become seductive so that they don't deal with the matters of the heart. Mm. I believe that is really the bottom line when leaders fall, whether it's with sexual sin or whether it's in other kinds of ways, whether it's, you know, financial or anger and, you know, aggressiveness. Of course, sexual sin can be some of the deepest, but when somebody doesn't deal with the transformation that they need on the inside and just try harder to manage certain behaviors, it doesn't go well. One of the things that Barner Research has shown is that more than half of Christian pastors have admitted to struggling with porn. More than half. So just because you're in leadership is not a protection against these things. If anything, it adds to the vulnerability. And so for those who are in Christian leadership, it becomes all the more important that you have people in your life who know your business. You were talking a minute ago about this, Susie. You need people who can ask you the hard questions. This is more than just accountability, although it includes that. This is people who really know you. And see you, and you offer the same to them. They ask you the hard questions. They're up in your business. You're doing life together. And if you are not doing well, they call you on it. They pray with you and for you. They're fighting with you in your corner. Leaders have to put extra effort into finding those people. You know, leadership is lonely. It's lonely at the top. Only if you make it that way, or only exactly. If you allow it to be that way. Mm. And yet it does take more effort to find those people to see and be seen with if you're in leadership.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking we all need to ask the question, what are we trying so hard not to feel? Because that's an interesting point about how some may be getting a buzz and a high from their status, from their position, mm-hmm. whether it's church leadership or in your business. It's like it's amazing our capacity to tap into things that feed that thing, like we're getting a quick hit and not feeling the thing that keeps trying to surface. That's always when you know you're going to be in trouble. The enemy could care less which thing you take a hit on, as long as you're numbing out so you're not dealing with the pain, because then you're just ready for primed for a temptation that overtakes you. And I think that's one of the reasons this show exists, is that we can be honest about our struggle and our story so we can heal from the inside out. When we come back, we're going to answer a question. This listener says, the way you tell the story about Kev sounds very understanding of the situation. What about when a partner has valued purity for whatever reason and is with someone who has more sexual experience, not from trauma? What are steps for them to take to come together and find healing together so that there's no shame in the marriage, so that there's redemption? We'll tackle that one on the other side. Talking to Dr. Carol Tanksley, her book, Sexpectations, Reframing Your Good and Not So Good Stories About God, Love, and Relationships. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, life can get so busy, and maybe for you, you're starting to feel the toll on your soul. Well, God can make a way in your life through every season, and He's always up to something new. How about you set apart some time to be set apart and discover what God wants you to know, what God wants you to do? Join us at the upcoming Set Apart Conference. It's for women on March 8th and 9th. You'll enjoy vibrant worship, workshops, fellowship, great speakers. Give your spirit the spa treatment. Register today at setapartconference.com. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Dr. Carol Tanksley. And we're talking about a subject, as I've been saying, is not suitable for young ears, but it's really been appropriate. I think if young ears were hearing, they wouldn't really understand what we're talking about. But talking about how God heals your sexual story. Carol's book is Sexpectations, Reframing Your Good and Not So Good Stories About God, Love, and Relationships. And earlier I talked about just how broken I was coming into marriage and how it broke Kev's heart and how we kind of came together and sought God together. And I just insisted on healing. I'm just like, I'm not going to wear this label of being unfixable. Well, this question came in. The way you tell the story about Kevin, he sounds really understanding of the situation. What about when a partner who has valued purity for whatever reason and is with someone, married with to someone who's had more sexual experience but not from trauma? What are the steps for them to take to come together and find healing together?
Important question. And there are some ways in which I experienced something very similar. When I married my husband, Al, I had not had sex before. I had not been married before. He had. And there was more to his story than that as well, not mine to tell. But a couple things that I learned going through that experience. First of all, I had to start with dealing with my own heart. I had to start with finding healing for my trauma and soaking in what God's design was for intimacy in marriage, including sex. I marinated in the Song of Solomon for several months before we got married because I realized my soul had to do that kind of work if I was going to be available. And then my husband, thankfully, was very open about addressing questions that I had. And as when we did begin our marriage and become sexually intimate, I, by that time, was healed enough that I could say, okay, I've got some feelings going on here. We need to pause. And he was gracious, and we worked through those things. I think the most important thing is talk about it. And no holds barred. Feelings of shame, or if your spouse, for example, had been engaged in sexual activities that were ungodly, and there's part of you that just, you know, is queasy about that, and you can't quite feel yourself going there, that needs to be talked about. Because if you can't talk about it, good things don't grow in the dark, and those feelings are going to breed resentment and pull you apart. If the two of you can talk about that together, you're going to make progress. There's been great research proving that couples who talk about sex have more and better sex. If you can't, that would be something to get some help for. Somebody who is perhaps trauma-informed, if there's that part of the story, or is skilled in understanding the transformation process and building intimacy in marriage. So if you can't talk about it between the two of you, get some help.
Mm-hmm. You know, just at first glance, I'm thinking about some of the dynamics that might surface. Maybe the person who, walked in purity has resentment and maybe holding a grudge and unforgiveness, and that those are some soul things they need to deal with. And then maybe the person who has the past has all kinds of shame. And you can see if you don't deal with those things, there will be an inequity in the relationship where one is kind of always holding it above the other. And yet, as Christians, there's just no premise for that. That's the glory of scandalous grace, is how he
yes.
and washes us clean. And so imagine the freedom and the redemption you could experience if you're willing to own your stuff and to say, what does Scripture say? I love the idea of getting help, but I'm just saying, as a couple, if you open up the Word, what does it mean that Jesus is my atoning sacrifice? He's my substitution. I mean, when you ponder some of those things, I think the Spirit of God could really help you get somewhere, you know?
Mm. Yes, and I just want to follow up on that. There is something powerful about Jesus coming into the middle of all of this, and that's kind of the whole premise in my book, What Does It Look Like to Bring Jesus into the Middle of It? But pray about this individually and together, and invite Jesus to be right in the room with you as you are, you know, wrestling with these feelings. This is in part the facts your left brain needs. It's also the emotional connection and healing your right brain needs. And there is almost nothing that is more transformative than when somebody sees you and loves you anyway. And that goes both ways in the couple you're describing. You know, Susie, the person with the past that's feeling shame. Okay, if the person with shame about their behaviors in the past just comes and lets that be fully seen by their partner and their spouse receives them and accepts them, powerfully healing. And the person who has lived sexually pure before marriage, who now is wrestling with, struggling with forgiveness and whatever, let those feelings out and experiencing your partner accepting you. I'll answer any question you have. We will talk about this as long as you need. I'm here for you. There's something powerfully healing about bringing that into the light, especially with Jesus in the middle of it.
Our time is up already. Why, that went fast. And Dr. Carol's book is Sexpectations, and we've got copies to give away for the drawing. This dear one said, I really wish my husband was listening with me. I think we both could learn so much. I need her book as soon as possible. Well, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Carol, thanks for joining us today and for this really important work. We bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much. And you can find out more at yoursexpectations.com.
Thanks for tuning in today. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We're so committed to this journey with you, honored to walk the walk of faith with you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.